Welcome, everyone. It's awesome to be here. I haven't preached for 3 months. Let's see if I can figure it out. So I've got a question for you. I want you to quickly discuss if there's someone sitting next to you or around you. Quickly, this is not a trick. It's not a trick question. Quickly, this is my question. What is the cross of Christ? Just take a minute and see if you can finish with a sentence, one sentence. Discuss it with someone sitting next to you. What is the cross of Christ? Okay, who feels they're not scared to shout out what they said? It's your moment to speak in church. Yes. You said the body of Christ. Okay. Love. Okay. Sacrifice, I like that. I said a sentence is okay.
So we said it was the total falling of man that ended up in the reconciliation.
Wow, that answer needs a degree, okay? who said the cross of Christ was two beams of wood, one like this and one like that? Because it's not wrong. But my point is that it was supposed to be quite an easy question, okay? So you could go spiritually. The cross of Christ is where the forgiveness of sins happens. Where we receive hope. The cross of Christ helps us to become a church. Okay. Can I ask you a difficult one? Okay. Can I be nasty? I'm going to be nasty. Sorry. What is the glory of God? Take 2 minutes. If you feel like you don't have any breath, you're not alone, okay? If you're visiting us, please don't worry. I'm not going to make you repeat your answer over the mic. This is very difficult. I don't know if I know the answer, but let's see if someone knows. What is the glory of God? Can you come up with a sentence? And by the way, I'm not going to ask for a shout-out sentence this time, okay? But just go for it. See if you can land on something. What is the glory of God? I hear you. Please don't shout out answers now, okay? Because just hold on and then come tell me afterwards if you're right. I'm not going to try and define it fully in any case, because if we get the tip of the iceberg, we do well. Okay? Do you agree with me? It's a little bit more abstract than the cross, right? Now, the point of tonight is not to land a theological debate and make you understand what the glory of God is. But we're going to talk about it a bit, so I'm going to try and define it in a sense that you understand it a bit better. In a sense, glory is like love, because the older you get and the more you love, and then you get married and then you get kids, you get taught a different type of love. When you're a parent, it's different. It's a love you've not felt before. But you know love as an 8-year-old because you love your parents, right? But you grow in the ability to feel and understand. And the same is true of the glory of God. And tonight we're going to start somewhere. And it's not going to be a pie in the sky. I'm going to bring it down. We're going to get a little bit technical at one place. I'll announce it. But what we are doing tonight, we are doing to land on a very, very straightforward next step that you can take in your life. All right? Let me just pray for myself. First thought, Father, I want to thank you for tonight. You are here in this moment. Every person that is here tonight, Lord, you know them, you made them, designed them. And in each person, there's spiritual ears, and those ears are capable to hear what the Spirit says. And so tonight, you're not silent, you're not dead, but you are speaking. So speak to your people. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay. Let's go to the place where you should not go for answers in life, which is Google. We're going there for a second. Google says, if we go to the next slide, that glory is high renown or honor won by notable achievements. Okay. So in the world, and it's a matter of speech. Okay. Words is a difficult thing because it sometimes gets applied sarcastically, sometimes poetically. But you might hear someone say after Usain Bolt run a wonderful 200 meter, what a glorious runner. And we understand what they are saying, okay? The man runs and it looks like poetry in motion. I mean, this guy is built to run, okay? And some other sport at some Olympic, I don't know, ice brusher or apparently there was one guy, you know what I'm talking about, that they're like, it looks like they mopping the floor, but like, and so this guy got expelled for using steroids. And I'm thinking, what does it do, the steroids, you know, does the elbow speed like, any case, apparently something with oxygen. So he's no longer allowed to broom the ice. But let's imagine someone doing gymnastics, perfect land. Someone might say, wow, this event was glorious. Are you with me? And I don't think it's sinful to, you know, if someone wants to express himself that way. But we understand that there's a place where glory belongs to God. Because if glory is putting a high renown on someone, we are being led as disciples to say, not me, but you. Are you with me? Okay. But let's carry on. Wikipedia got it a little bit closer, I think. Glory is used to describe the manifestation of God's presence as perceived by humans according to, look at that, Abrahamic religions, okay? So they may be a little bit closer because they believe that glory belongs in the court where God is, okay? Just so that we understand how the world thinks. Let's just look at one scripture, and once again, I'm not able, and it's not about the time, I'm not capable to fully define the glory of God. Let me just say that up front. But let us understand it a bit deeper tonight. Let's just check this out. The next slide. Glory is in the scripture. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Huh. Now that's an interesting scripture if you think about it. And we're going to come back to this because we're going to end with this as well. An intercession outside on the lawn was full of the sermon, by the way. Jan Lowe or Tola, someone prayed into this. Let your light shine. This is Jesus speaking, by the way. He is saying you need to be what? Visible. Yet in such a way, when you are visible and people look at you, they say, glory to God. And we can't get this right. We struggle to get this right because, and in our church we have this, and I'm addressing that tonight. God speaks a lot to us about humility. A lot. We pray about it most. I know my friend Carl would love to lead the worship behind the curtains. That's a compliment, Carl. And I mean it out of my heart. Because there's something in us where we don't desire to steal God's light, okay? It's almost like sometimes, and now I'm talking to the congregation, ons is te beskeie by tye. How's that? Because let me, if I'm seen, then that means I'm proud, and but there's a place where we need to figure out how this works, because he says, let your light shine, but the glory must come to me. We need to figure it out. So on the one side, and that's better, there's a side where the worship team would rather be behind the curtain, because they don't want people to look at them and think, you think you're singing to them. Are you with me? I understand that. The heart of a worship team is they would sing through them, but to God, not through them even, but you see them and then you carry on. My heart is tonight that you connect with God and not with me. Okay. On the other side, we get the world, which is the opposite, where you long to be not only visible, but the center of adoration. It's the exact opposite. You want to be set apart. You want to be like a shining light that people will give you glory. And in each one's heart here, we have both. We deal with it. And I want us to think about this, because there's a place where the disciple stands up to be counted and he's visible, but he takes no glory. And that's the place we need to figure out in this church going forward. Are you with me? Let's go on. Here's a statement, once again, it's not defining glory, it's just something about glory. The glory of God is when who God is goes public. Someone has to see something of God, experience it, hear it, to say, I glorify you, Lord. How will they see and how will they hear? Who will stand up as a light so that the people can see who God is and say, glorify your name, and forget about the person? We see this in Scripture. Check this out. And the one called to another, this is the angels, before the throne of God. And now they're describing who God is. They say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his holiness. No. Holy is the Lord. Wow. But as soon as it is seen upon the earth, the people say, glory to God. When God's character is broadcasted on earth, he is more glorious, whether you're encountering his love, whether you're encountering his patience, whether you encounter him in a miracle, whatever it is, boom, glory to you. It takes everything that God does over and above everything else, and the word is, glorious are you, Lord. All right? Okay. Just go to the next slide for a second, please. Just the second one, Isaiah 43. Everyone who is called by my name, all right? Who's that? Who's everyone? Everyone, it's you, everyone. Can't get around that, okay? Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory. You are created for God's glory. This church and every church in this town, we are called into being so that through us, there's one name that is heard, Jesus. God, you are glorious. But it must be seen by people or experience or heard. I'm not going to be long tonight. I'm going to land one main idea. Just go to the next slide. Okay, so do you have to be perfect? You're a carrier of God. No, you don't have to. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show the surpassing power belongs to God. The word glory is not in there, but the principle is there. It is okay for you to be a jar of clay on your journey of mirroring the power or the glory or whatever of God. That's okay. You do not have to be a complete perfect person, know God for 16 years, walked with the angels, fasted for 30 days. No, no, no. You can be a jar of clay, which means if you are here and you love God, you are ready to be used by God in one way or another. So that people, when they look at you, they say, you are glorious God. Okay, so what does this mean for Shofar Sekunda? Because I feel tonight is a little bit more of a prophetic word than exposition of scripture. Because I do believe God's going to move us. It's very strongly in my spirit and we feel it at intercession. You're welcome to join us tomorrow night, 6:30. We'll pray at the back. So Jesus prays before his crucifixion. Okay, he's about to die, and this is our main scripture for tonight. He's about to die, and he prays. What do you pray for just before you die? I mean, that's a good thought, eh? And so here it is. He speaks to the Father, and he says, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them, Shofar Sekunda, into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in truth. Now, that's a big word. Sanctified means heiligmaking. Jesus vra dat ons sal groei om elke dag meer soos hy te raak. That's his prayer. Sanctified. A proces van heiligmaking. Okay? And he goes on. He says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Through whose word? That they all may be one. Okay, now I need to look out for the one part. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and love them even as you have loved me. Now, if in the beginning of verse 22, you were puzzled. Who were puzzled in the beginning of verse 22? Let me just see. Was there anyone that thought, why? Why were we puzzled? Do you want to say? Do you want to say why you were puzzled? So here Jesus says exactly that. The glory you've given me, I'm going to give to them. But we just said that glory is not for us. We're supposed to say glory to God. So this should puzzle you. You should want to open up your study Bible and figure out why. Why does Christ want to give glory to us? Are you with me? Please don't leave me, okay? Let's go back one slide, please, Zander. There where it says, at the beginning of verse 21, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. How on earth will we be able to be one and share a union like the Father, the Son, and the Spirit? I mean, just, can you just, that's a crazy thought for one moment. In the ages of ages past, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit has been in exact unity for every second of their existence. Daar was nog nooit 'n egskeiding nie. When the Son comes on the earth for the 33 years, every time he gets a chance, he says, the Father, glorify your name. The Father opens a cloud and says, listen to my Son, that's the one I love. The Spirit says, I'm lifting up Jesus, and they're just loving on one another. And Jesus prays before he dies, one of his last prayers. Write that in importance. He says, I pray that they'll be one like we are one. That's impossible. How do you do that? I don't even want to hang around with you guys for one day. I'm just I really like you. I'm just playing around. And so Jesus needs to give us something to enable us to do what we cannot do. And the thing he gives us is what, if we go to that next slide again, thanks, Ander, in verse 20 and 22, is what is described as, Father, the glory that you've given me, I'm going to give to Craig. I'm going to give to Shofar. I'm going to give to Lighthouse. I'm going to give to the Follies. And the collection of them, I'm going to give them something so that they may be one. Now, here's the technical bit. And then we're going to land this. Technically, if you look at that scripture and you dissect it, Christ is not asking that God makes us more like God. It's not what he's asking. He's not asking that God in eternal being, like the angel said, you are glorious. That's not what he's asking. Okay, he's not asking that God gives us something so that we compete with him and say, hey, look at us, that we are glorious. What are you saying? The glory you have given me. What glory? What was interesting about Christ on earth? Christ was fully God, and he was fully man. And because he was fully God and man, he walked the earth. And he embodied God on earth. And when people encountered Jesus, they could glorify God because he was amongst the people. The big word is the incarnate nature of Christ. He was God in the human. He embodied a human body for a while and was able to be seen by people, touched and heard. And when people get in touch with him, they could be saved and connected with the Father forever. And Jesus is saying, Father, I'm going back and I need people to embody me on this earth. I need people to become like me so that when humans look at them, they can see something of us. And the middle point of that glory is this, that we'd be able to get along. One. Glory was given so that we can be one. It is big. But check this out. Father, he's not saying, Father, give them the glory that they may never sin again. That would be quite cool. No. We keep on sinning. We read in 1 John, if we say we don't have sin, we're lying. He's not saying, Lord, give them your glory that they will be perfect humans. No. We're broken. But within that, we can be one. That's what he's asking. So, for those of you like cause and effect, Jesus gives us glory. The effect of that is that we can be one. What is the purpose of the glory? Don't lose me. The effect of this, because it is given, I've given to them that they may be one, even as we are one. What is the purpose of us being one, guys? So that the world may know that you have sent me. Unity in the faith is magnetic. It draws people in because there is no true unity in this world except what comes from God. Two businessmen can look in unity and then one day, bam, it's gone. The one takes it and goes. Someone might look like they really, really love this person until you talk to them and say, and then they backbite that person because here's the thing, true unity, heart to heart, is from God because it existed with Him before the worlds were made. Father, the Son, the Spirit. And He gives us something that can only happen if He's in it. Now you understand why it breaks Jesus' heart when He prays for a man with a demon. The demon leaves and the Pharisee says, it's because you're doing it by the power of Satan. Shatters his heart. The one man who's never betrayed God, never ever ever had a moment of a thought of being against God, is being accused by humans, you're doing it by the power of Satan. It breaks his heart. And he says a divided house cannot stand. So, why are we talking about this? This is important. God is showing a lot of us in leadership that it's a time for us to stand up and be counted in this town. This is a word unto us. It's a time for us not to hide away. Can we go to the next slide, please, Ander? Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father. We need to understand that if you say, God, it's a time for me to stand up and be counted with my faith, that it's not pride, because you're not standing up against another man, you're standing up against the powers of darkness. Men and women in this town is about to stand up, and it's going to be visible. And then people will glorify God. It's not standing against another church, we're standing with churches who are willing. We are standing against the boundary lines of an enemy in this town. And here's one thing that needs to happen with us. You cannot stand alone. We must be one in heart. There's no other way. There is no other way because glory was given. We are not allowed to stand alone because it is direct opposite of that prayer of Christ. It's a time to bring our hearts together. Do you hear me tonight? The glory that is given to us is stronger so that the sin and the mistakes of your brother does not get pushed out of relationship. It must remain with you. Why? Because we've received enablement to be one, okay? We're fighting for unity here. And tonight, I'm not saying what we're going to do because that's not the point. The point is in our hearts we must draw together now. I'm not going to land at the end and say, okay, so this is what God's saying. You must give money. Okay? It's not where we're going. We're going nowhere practically tonight. We're moving spiritually. We need to be one in heart. My offenses and your offenses in small groups, time to deal with it. And bury it. Because the kingdom is bigger than my offense and yours. It's a time to fight for unity because Christ prayed for us one day when he was sweating blood. And he said, Father, I'm giving them glory that can be one. It's a time in this church for the individual to know that his worth is central to God placing him alongside others. You are interpreted by the people around you. It's not about Carl, it's about the worship team. It's not about Werner, it's about us. Yet in the same time, on the one side there's hiding away, and on the other side there's let your light shine before men, and we must figure it out. We know in heart, in our hearts, say, God, not me, but you. But if God says stand up, you must stand up because your heart is ready. Are you with me? God will be glorified in this town through us, guys. And he's going to make sure that we are visible. Why? I'll tell you why we need to be visible. Because Jesus is not coming down to plant a church. We must do it. He's left us here to represent him. Amen? He's seated at the right hand of God. He's given us the Spirit, but the Spirit cannot be seen. Sure, in the Spirit, yes. Humans can be seen. The way they talk, they touch, they love. When they offer prayer, when they offer care. When they make effort to go into someone's house and pray for them and cry with them. That's when your light is shining. And when you leave, people say, there must be a God. Amen? It's time for us to be seen. We're going to pray about this. We have to be one in heart. This is the last slide for tonight. Can we just, we've got two things. One is, Lord, I want to be seen, but I want to be invisible. I want my light to shine, but I don't want people to say, yes, that person. I want them to say, Jesus. On the other side, Jesus saying, be more visible, be more visible. We have to figure it out. The more the believer are willing to disappear, the more the Spirit says, shine your light. And so this cannot be figured out on an Excel sheet. This needs to be revealed in your spirit. We need the Holy Spirit more than anything else. And we're going to open our hearts so that he can do a mighty work through us. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Chew on that this week, guys. I'm very excited. I think you can see that, where we are going. I'm not going to slow down. I'm picking up speed from here. So let's change this place, amen? We don't have time to mumble around disagreements. You disagree, take your friend's hand, you pray. It's done. You take out the chops and you braai. It's as easy as that. And I know this is the time of one of us sitting with a hurt towards another person for a week. It's over. It cannot occupy your mind anymore because it needs to be focused on God. So if there's something that's hindering you, you need to speak to your brother, like Scripture says. Go to him. Take ice cream. Okay? It's in the Bible. I must all just find it. But but it's a time for us to be one, and our unity is more important than our preferences. Amen? God's going to bring people to salvation. You know, there's kids that's getting born out there without the father in the house. We can change that. Do you know that? You know, there's people out there that's suffering, that tonight they can't sleep unless they take 6 or 7 pills. Now, I don't feel responsible for that, okay? But we can change that, guys. People need to come. Amen. Let's stand up tonight in this place. I want you just to be silent for a moment. Just close your eyes and breathe. I'm not going to keep you long. But let's land in our spirits what God has started here. What is the Spirit saying to you? What is He whispering to your heart? What is He saying to you? I know what Scripture says. It says that you were created for God's glory. You were created for God's glory. And what that means for some of us tonight is that you need to make your first decision to follow Jesus, because life is not making sense. And it won't until spiritually you step into the place which you were created for, to be with God. I'll tell you one thing, you were not created to be in this church. You were created to be with God. This is just a momentary family. Amen. We're not better than other churches or something. Oh, but when God calls you, don't turn your face away. He's not intimidated by your past or your sins and stuff like that. And I just want to give a moment for people to respond to that. If you tonight just need to say, up to here and no further, I'm turning my face to God for the first time or again, then we want to send someone to your chair to pray with you. I'll tell you what, you were created for His glory, because He loves you and has given you gifts, and you're frustrated in life because nothing works out, because you're not hitting the nails that He's putting in front of you. But it can happen tonight for you. And so if that is you, if you want to say, Lord, tonight I am starting my journey and I'm putting my face in your face. I'm looking you, no longer do I look away. I'm starting tonight. Then I want to count to three. And if that's you, on three, I want you to put your hand up very high. Don't be shy. Someone's going to come and pray with you and help you. On one, two, and three.